Hi, Kirk. You ready?
Hi, Don. We've got a deal cooking in the office. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. George, will you log me in on 5-6?
Okay. 5-6. Service on the night watch.
Thanks, Al.
What's the deal, Perk?
You remember the drunk that tried to keep the station apart the other night?
No, you mean the guy that wanted to remove my bridge work with his foot?
No, that's him. Well, he's in here now and wants to talk to us about it.
Well, I hope he's in a better frame of mind than he was then.
He is. Come on in. We'll talk to him.
Okay. I'll be in a minute. This is Don Reed, a police recorder. You're going along with Detective Unit 5-6 tonight on our tour of the night watch. And while you're with us, remember one thing. The people you hear are not actors. You're right here in police headquarters. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to police headquarters and to police recorder Don Reed.
You're in the identification room, looking into the office where Sergeant Perkins is talking with a subject that we've arrested three times for aggravated drug. You see, this is a two-way mirror. We can look in on them, but the other side is just a plain mirror. Let's take a good look at this fellow before we go in. About 3 months ago, we found him face down in an alley. When we got him into the police car, it took a couple of officers and a pair of handcuffs to hold him down. Last week, we bumped into him again. He almost took the jail apart. Now he's sitting in there, stone sober. Face lined, heavy circles under his eyes. And this is a new twist. He came in voluntarily. Let's go in and see what it's all about.
We know that you have a problem. In fact, we've run across you several times before. Can you recall how this all started, the reason for it?
Well, I don't believe there was any special reason. I just started drinking normally like most people, and I don't know, just kept getting worse and worse. That is, I had to have more and more. When I first started out, well, I can have two or three drinks and quit with the rest of them, and now I'll keep going, or where with most of my friends, if usually on weekends is enough for them, but I find now that I have to that I am drinking to excess several times during the week. I don't know, it's funny, you know. Any normal person, if they've had too much to drink, won't drive. Or, instead of trying to get out in the street, they'll call a cab or something like that. But not an alcoholic, boy. He'll get in that car and try to drive and everything else.
Did you feel that you were perfectly capable of handling an automobile, or...
Well, no, see, I was experiencing what is known as blackouts. I mean, I didn't remember a thing.
A period of time that you wouldn't know what happened?
I'd be drinking up to a period of time and then... And maybe I'd keep going for 2 or 3 hours after that. I'd talk to people and I wouldn't even... I'd see them the next day or something like that and wouldn't even remember just talking to them. That's what is known as a blackout. You go out and get in your car, maybe... Maybe drive home and not even remember them driving home.
That's just the time where the accidents happen.
Yeah.
You ever been stopped for drunk driving?
Oh, yeah. Hell, I had an accident.
You have an accident involving... I mean, while you were intoxicated? What happened?
I got a fine and insurance canceled and everything else.
I mean, you remember what happened about the accident, how it occurred?
No, I was just driving along. The guy was stopped at a red light. And I came up, hit him from behind.
Is anybody hurt?
No, fortunately. See, those are, when I look back, I have quite a bit to be thankful for because, well, for one thing, I've caught it pretty young. For another thing, I'd, gee, if I'd ever injured anybody or killed anybody while I was drunk, I'd never get over it.
How old were you when you started drinking?
I was about 15.
Yeah, so.
In high school at that time?
Yeah.
Looking back, at what age would you say had you become an alcoholic?
Well, let's see, all the way through high school and through the service. I think about the time I got out of the service and I started to college. Because then it was beginning to affect me where I couldn't get up and go to classes some mornings and things like that. And that's when I started experiencing the blackouts.
How much time did you spend in the service?
3.5 years.
About how old were you then when you started to college, when you consider yourself to be an alcoholic?
I guess I'd say it when I was about 21.
How old are you now?
I'm 31.
31? What do you think you would have accomplished had you not had the drinking problem at this age in life?
Well, I'd have accomplished quite a bit. For one thing, I'd probably have a wife and a home, a nice car, and a pretty good job.
You ever stop to think how much money you've spent? You ever?
Well, I wish I had it. I made $5,400 last year, and I don't have a thing to show for it. Not one thing. The fact is, I'm in debt. I don't have an automobile. I bought very few clothes. That's about all I bought. It just takes every penny you make. We thought it was smart when we were in high school. Now I find where it has wrecked my home life. I've lost friends due to it. I've gotten in trouble with the family, with the boss.
Have you made any attempts to stop it yourself?
Yes, I have, and it doesn't work. I have tried drinking highballs and real tall glasses so that there'd be more water in them. I've tried drinking just beer, but I still find myself getting just as drunk as ever.
Have you had any physical reactions from this drinking?
Yes, I have. I find that I have lost weight due to it because I don't feel like eating. And I've found that I've been very nervous. Mentally, there are nights when I can't sleep all night long. And small things that are not irritating to the normal person have become irritating to me, such as small noises and things like that, and I found myself snapping at people for no reason at all.
Have you ever had what they call the DTs?
I've only gone into the DTs once, but I'm afraid that I would go into them again.
What was it like?
Well, I found that I'd been drinking extra heavily for a period of a couple of weeks, and then I knew that I had to stop a lot. So I used willpower, and I just stopped altogether. And that night when I went to bed, well, I had been asleep for about an hour, and then I woke up, and I found my body shaking, and then there was a cold sweat coming over me, and it completely soaked the sheets, and I just laid there and shook all night long. And I was seeing all sorts of things and imagining all sorts of things, noises and flashes in front of my eyes. It was awful.
You know, you've heard of people seeing pink elephants and rats and various things. Did you see anything like that?
No. Well, it's hard to explain. I mean, I'd be laying there with my eyes closed and just seemed like an orange ball coming at me, and then it'd go away. I just figured, well, quit kidding yourself, boy. You're an alcoholic.
Well, it's a pleasure, believe me. It's a pleasure to see a man and hear a man admit it and be willing to do something about it. How long has it been since you've had a drink now?
Well, it's been one day now since I've had a drink.
At the present time right now, you want assistance and you want help.
Yes, that's right. I'll tell you, I've been thinking it over and I've been... I knew that I was drinking to excess and it kept getting worse and worse. But I believe that I was just afraid to face reality. And I've been thinking for quite a while now, I think that I'm an alcoholic. And I didn't think that it could happen to me. But I think that I'm willing to admit now that I am.
I've accomplished a great deal. Just the admission of the fact that you are an alcoholic is the first step. Have you ever heard of the organization Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yes, I have.
Drinking, and it's a national organization. There's local clubs here. We have one here that meets once a week, I believe it is. And would you be willing to go to that organization and get the assistance that they can offer you?
Yes, I would. I'm ready now.
Fine.
To try it. And I'd rather be with a bunch who are alcoholics than someone who is not, who's trying to help me, because I don't think that someone who is not an alcoholic could understand just what I've been through.
Well, these men that are in Alcoholics Anonymous have been at one time an alcoholic. And if you're willing, why, we will make arrangements for you and have one of the members contact you.
Well, I'd certainly appreciate it. I'm ready now.
Meantime, remember, you didn't drink for 24 hours. Every day, make yourself that same promise.
Is this the same guy we were wrestling with the other night? It doesn't seem possible.
Well, I guess that's what they mean when they say you see the light.
I hope he sticks to it.
I have a feeling he will.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch.
CCCCBS
Radio.
I like it best.
Radio.
I like those CBS radio shows.
If you're sitting at home,
if you're out in the car,
CBS Radio's where you are. CBS Radio.
And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, Somewhere in the Field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
5-0, clear from code 7. Control 1 to all units in the vicinity on the Archway Bridge, 1/2 mile south of Jefferson. Woman threatening to commit suicide, may possibly have jumped. Unit 5-0 and 5-3, handle this call. Unit 5-0, your call, code 3.
Gosh, that's right on the street, isn't it?
5-6 to control 1, we're just a minute or two away, we'll roll on.
Control 1 to 5-6, 10-4.
We have a break on this deal. We're not over, about a minute away from this location. One of our uniformed cars will be rolling code 3. That's red light and siren. The other will just be using its red light. We're all going the same place. That's why they didn't assign more than one unit to roll with their red light and siren. In case they happen to approach an intersection at the same time, neither one could hear each other. They have to get into a tie. A little difficult situation. All we know so far, woman threatening to jump off the Archway Bridge. That's about 50 feet into the water. This time of year, there's quite a bit of water flowing through there. We're approaching the area now. So we get flipped around here. Hold on. Yeah, we're flashing our spotlight now on the sides here. Can't make anything out. Off here. Well, we're coming to a sudden stop. Here it is. Let's go. We're the first unit here, apparently. Let's see what else. There's a woman waving to us over here. That's not the victim. She's pointing down the stream.
What is it?
She told the kids she's going to kill herself. She's had some kind of a fight.
Okay. Okay.
Walter, handle the spotlight. Will you follow around down that stream?
Looking way down along the creek here, I can see just a dark figure way off disappearing along the creek. That apparently is the woman that is apparently attempting to kill herself. If she jumps into that water, she's a goner. There goes the spotlight. It's got her spotlighted now. I can see her way off. She's about 400 yards from us. One, two, three, four youngsters down there trying. They're about 100 yards behind, trying to get near her. All right. Let's make our way across the highway here. Well, there's just one opening through the steel fence to get down to the river. Sergeant Perkins is ahead, already starting down the embankment. It's very steep, very dark. Several young boys are attempting to follow the victim. They're out of our view for the moment. Got to make our way under the bridge on the other side before we can hit that path that runs along the water. Whoops, boy. Printer went down on that one. That pounding noise overhead, our car is going by. Just a few more feet now to the bottom. Now we're down. Can pick up some speed. Coming down the embankment behind us, two uniformed officers. One is Captain Lugo. See the gold braid flash in the glare of a searchlight. Make our way through the crisscross girders, past the bridge. Now we're on the outside. Off in the distance, another of our units rolling in. You can see the reflection of this red light against the hills. Sergeant Perkins is closing the range. I can't see the victim for the moment. Young boys up ahead. I guess they've given up. Where is she, fellas? Right down here?
On this side of the bank?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on this side, Captain. Coming up to the first waterfall. Pouring into a deep pool. She'd intended to jump, this would have been the logical place. Deep. Straight down. See the victim now. Short distance up ahead. Staggering along the edge. High heels on the rocks. Sergeant's grabbed her. Pulling her off to the side. Let's move in there.
What happened?
Come on, try to get hold of yourself. What's the trouble?
Tears. To help you now. Long black hair.
Come on, get hold of yourself.
Young. Attractive.
Come on, steady.
Mixed hysterics.
Take a couple of deep breaths. Come on, take a couple of good deep breaths. That'll do it.
Too shaken to talk. Apparently lost her nerve.
Did you have trouble at home?
Captain Lugo.
Come on, you walk up.
Officer Hartinian coming in.
Did you take anything at all? Did you take any poison or anything like that? Come on, you walk up here. Gotta get hold of yourself.
Now starts the long walk back. Two officers have the victim in tow, guiding her along.
Would you rather talk to the captain?
Yes, I can.
This is Captain Lulu over here. Why don't you tell him what the trouble is?
Everybody's got troubles, you know.
Probably yours are not as bad as you might believe that they are. What is the difficulty?
Is everything okay at home?
What is your trouble?
My husband had strangled me.
Your husband strangled you?
Yes, and they can never find me.
Let me see. Are you hurt?
No, not today.
Do you have any children at home?
Yes, I have two children.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Is your husband at home?
No, he locked.
Now, look, you get yourself together and you just answer a couple of questions. Can you do that? Will you do that? Now, you just take it easy and just answer a couple of questions. What are you doing down here, first of all?
I want to cry.
You want to cry?
Yes.
Were you going to try to commit suicide or anything down here?
Were you going to try to injure yourself in some way?
What were you going to do?
Let's go home.
You want to go home?
Yes.
All right.
How'd you get down? Come up on the other side of the bridge?
He's so
fat. Who is, your husband?
Oh, yes. He made it snow tomorrow.
Well, let's go and find out what all the trouble is, okay?
The woman stopped short.
Okay.
Staring into a deep pool.
Come on, you walk up here.
Now we're holding it. An officer with an arm around her. Escorting her back. Lights are flashing here in the darkness. Off on our left-hand side, the deep waters of the creek.
Feel better?
It's going to be a long walk back here. So we're crossing over on the left. There's a waterfall. Probably can hear the water pouring over the top. So we go on by. Make our way along this slim stretch of rocky beach here.
What are you doing?
Now we're past the waterfall. Hey, Kerr. Way up under the bridge again. Cars. Look overhead. Well, this is one case where man's best friend is his flashlight. Let's head up this last stretch of embankment. The others are already topside. Cross the highway here. Get back to our radio unit. The victim has been placed in the back seat of the uniform car. She's very incoherent. Apparently she had a quarrel with her husband. Worried about the condition of her two children.
Bill, the captain wants you to take her on into the hospital for psychiatric treatment. Her state of mind, she's likely to do anything.
Roger.
Didn't she say something about living here in the neighborhood, Perk?
Yeah, she lives up in the next block down. The J car's checking it out now.
Yeah.
Six to 52J, no, he's off the air for the moment.
52J to 56, would you relay this information? We checked out the woman's house and talked to the neighbors. She lives alone. She's not married, doesn't have any children.
10-4, 52J, can Control 1, did you receive that information?
Control 1 to 56104, will relay. 2:27 a.m., unit 56 clear, end of night watch.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on the Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first case of the alcoholic who voluntarily asked for help presents a real problem that we must face. This man took the investigating officer's advice and joined Alcoholics Anonymous. I am advised that now he is well on the road to becoming a responsible citizen again. Alcohol is a disease. If treated as such, it can be whipped. Tonight's case is a good example. In the final investigation involving the woman threatening to jump off a bridge resulted in her being placed in a psychiatric ward for mental treatment. As nearly as we can determine, the memory of a broken marriage between her mother and father brought on this condition of complete frustration. This was the activity on night watch tonight. Tomorrow, our officers could be involved in a gun battle or just routine patrol. This is the real situation that faces your local law enforcement officer in his job to maintain public security. To bring about this realization to the American public is the reason for a night watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.